So it's appropriate this morning that the topic of conversation is love. The epistle for today is out of 1 John chapter 3, starts at verse 16, and it reads like this. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. It's a wonderful message John has given us about love. How do we know love? This is how we've come to understand and experience love, John says, that Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially. And here John is talking about living sacrificially for his fellow believers, for our fellow believers, and not just be out for ourselves. That's kind of the culture that we live in. It's every man for himself. Everybody's got their own agenda. Everybody has their own plan, and it's very seldom lines up with God's plan. If you see some brother or sister in need, John says, and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? John says, when we do that, God's love disappears, and what's more, we made it disappear. John tells us here that the way we know God loves us is that he sacrificed his son Jesus for us. You remember the communion liturgy, where it says Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. You remember this? While we are yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. We know God's love for us because he gave his son, right? How many of you remember John 3:16? You probably remember it if I said it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. See, God's given us the ability to love and to experience love. He has seen to it that we have that capability. It's how he made us. It's part of his grand design to have that ability to love him first and foremost, because he first loved us. That's what gives us the ability, but also to love one another in that unconditional agape, you've probably heard that word before, agape love that radiates through us and out of us and requires nothing in return from the recipient of that love. William's going to experience that kind of love. Oh, sure, he'll give love in return, but right now, in his current state, in his current human condition, he's in receive mode, baby. But that love is going to pour out of all these people into him for no other reason other than that is God's design for the family. See, John is sure to point out here that if we fail to exercise the love ability to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, If we fail to do that, God's love ceases to radiate out from us. And when that happens, nobody can possibly benefit from this magnificent ocean of love that God has given to all of us. We, as individual Christians, have the power to stop the ocean of love from flowing. All we have to do is stop radiating it. But by the same token, don't you see that we have the ability to make that love radiate out from us and through us? And so John's telling us, let's practice love. Let's practice that real love. He says, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way, John says, we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality, living into the purposes that God has for us. It's also the way to shut down this debilitating self-criticism, John says, even when there is something to it, even if we feel like there's a reason for us to be so hard on ourselves. God is greater, John says, than our worried hearts. And knows more about us than we do ourselves. One of the reasons I think most of us choose to withhold the love that God has designed in us to radiate out is because sometimes we just don't feel like we're worthy of giving it. Who would really want to receive it from us? We can be our own worst critics sometimes, right? Maybe I don't feel like I'm worthy of being a grandfather to 9 grandkids. Yes, it's true. Don't judge. Maybe I don't feel like I'm worthy of being that. We can be our own worst critics. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves that we tend to cocoon ourselves. Right? We shut ourselves off from the fellowship of others, especially other believers. We isolate ourselves and we cut off communion and relationship with God by shunning the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're not even thinking that we're doing this, but it happens in our humanness. And when we do that, we cut off the love faucet. Sounds like something out of the 60s. I apologize for that. The love faucet. And the love of God ceases to flow from us to others, and once again, nobody wins. John says, don't do that, but rather open the floodgates and let the love of God pour out of you. In other words, practice love. Don't just talk about it, do it. Put love in motion, and then everybody wins. The last thing John tells us here in this passage is that love is God's divine nature. It's his character. It's who he is. He says, once all of that stuff has been taken care of, that debilitating self-criticism where we're so hard on ourselves, once we realize that God loves us regardless, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, well, then we can be bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we asked for because we're doing what he said to do. We're doing what pleases him. And John reminds us, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. See, naming is important. It reminds us of whose we are. That's why when Carl stood up and said, I present William Joseph Blake for baptism, he was calling his name into the covenant of God. Because that's God's command to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with that original command to love Jesus. And as we keep his commands, we live deeply and we live surely in him, and then he lives in us. It's called abiding love. We abide in Christ. Christ abides in us. This is how we experience this deep, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us as believers. And what does that all mean? Love is God's divine nature. Anytime we fall in line with who God is, anytime we lose our human nature and we take on God's nature, well, we become free. Free from what? Well, free from the oppression of sin. Free from the chains of culture and the chains of the world. Free to experience the love of God for ourselves. A contrite and obedient heart, listening to the commands of God, putting them into action, that honors and pleases God. And so very simply, what is he commanding us to do here? John says it very directly. This is his commandment. That we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's part one. And part two, love one another. Just as he commanded us. And why would we want to do that? Well, John tells us that too. He says, all who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. This is the relationship that we're in as Christians. This is the relationship that we're in as family. This is what we're going to nurture. William Joseph Blake, I love that name, by the way. It's going to do great things with that name. This is the relationship that William will grow up in. Those who keep his commandments live in him, abide in him. And what's more than that, when we do that, then he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in us and abides in us. We get to experience and enjoy this reciprocal relationship with God the Father, just the way he always intended for us to do. It's hard to see that when you walk through this world, isn't it? There's so much junk out there. There's so much stuff that we all have to deal with. It's hard for us to see the Christ, the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us, if we will just confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that in our hearts. My prayer for you this Easter season, this being the fourth Sunday of Easter, is that you would come to a deeper relationship with your Father in heaven by practicing love, real love, love that manifests itself in truth, and love that manifests itself in action. Just like that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.